Luke 22, and we're going to start in verse 23. That's where we left off the last time, sort of, kind of. So, let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would settle our hearts right now. Father, that you would open up our ears. Lord, that you would bind the hand of the enemy that wants to distract us. Lord, that your Spirit can speak to us. Lord, we want to hear from you today. Lord, just as we just sang, Lord, we need you. We need your grace and your mercy. And we thank you for your love. So, Lord, I ask that you would just shine your love down upon this place and just meet us here, Lord, and give us ears. But, Lord, we don't want to just have ears to hear what you have for us today. We ask that you would increase our faith, that we could take steps of faith, keeping our eyes fixed on you, the author and finisher. We thank you for your love, Jesus, and the life that we have in you. We ask that you would continue to strengthen that in our walks with you, that the world may see the beauty of who you are. In Jesus' name. So, would you like to read verses 23 to 30? We may one day get through the book of Luke.
Then they began to question among themselves which of them it was who would do this thing. Now there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is the greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom, just as my Father bestowed one upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel.
Not much there. Just kidding. So, I think last time I kind of tipped my hand a little bit, and it's been a while since I shared, but we left off with verse 23 where it says, they began to question among themselves which of them it would be to do this thing. So you have to go back to find out what this thing is, and what that thing is who was going to be his betrayer. Right? That's who Jesus had just got done saying, one of you are going to betray me. So I don't know in your own heart where you see the true reality of who you are and know that you have a need, but in that same time you want to present something as something different than what you know to be true inside. This is what's going on with the disciples here, I think. I might read the scriptures a little different than some of you. I might be a little different in thought process in some ways. But I kind of look at the disciples as our example of, like, in some sort of way, the Three Stooges. And I don't mean to distract and persuade, because the Lord said, you tarry with me through my trials. But yet do we hold these men up to say, oh, these men did such a wonderful, great thing? Or do we see these men for who they are and say, God, you did such a beautiful job through these fallen creatures? You see, we're here today not because the apostles went. We're here today, well, they agreed with God. But we're here today because the Holy Spirit was left here on the earth to draw all men to himself. And he uses imperfect, incomplete, willing, yielded vessels to speak through. And it's very humbling. But a lot of times I find in my own life that when I see the reality and beauty of how sweet the love of Jesus is towards us, and I know that in my heart, by myself, there dwells no good thing. It's humbling. But then when I get around others, you want to act like everything's okay, and like maybe you want to see like you're actually someone great. But these men, we learn in Mark in 14 that when Jesus said, "One at this night, one of you will betray me," they weren't all like, "Oh, I think it's going to be him," and "I think it's going to be him." They were all looking in the mirror and saying, "It's probably me. It could be me. But I want to be great." How does that work? I think first off, stop trying to be great. But look at the one who is. And to hold on to him for his greatness and his goodness. So Jesus says, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them. And those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. You know, the world would look at, well, let's just say if I wanted to be ruler here, that I would look at every one of you that come through the doors here to benefit me. That's what a benefactor is. To look in outside of yourself to think that everything's there to benefit you. Jesus says, not so. This isn't the life that he has for us. The blessings of the Lord are because of his goodness, not because of our greatness. The Lord wants to reveal himself, and he's looking through four willing vessels to be yielded and surrendered. And then everybody understand what the word, when they talk about the importance of first mention in Scripture. Do you understand what I mean by that? It's like there's a premise behind the time that the when a word's mentioned for the very first time, it kind of takes a thought process through Scripture. And it shows that importance and kind of keeps you wrapped there. But the Lord really opened up my heart the other day was, what is his very first words to this earth? What?
Let.
For any creative process to happen on earth, in this world, in your own life, it begins with let. We need to allow God free reign. Anybody struggle with that? We all know that. Any problems here? Everybody got it? I'm flipping around on a lot of things because I have a lot of things going on in my heart. Ephesians 4. We're going to get to... Well, we're getting there. I want to go to Ephesians 4:11. For he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So the Lord has given us examples. But if you look back through all that, you're going to see that our great apostle is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our prophet is Christ. He's the great evangelist. And he's the only one that can teach us. And he's our pastor. I share this because God reveals himself through all these characteristics. But in here, in our fellowship, we desire to not care about those top things except that that's Christ. And so when people come and share, they're sharing their hearts and hoping that it's the Lord speaking through them as he's spoken to them. Because we all have the same desire, and that's verse 13. Well, verse 12. You see, God gave these people for this reason. So the terms and titles don't matter. There's only one reason. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edification of the body of Christ, till we all come into the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind and doctrine and trickery of men and the cunning craftiness and deceitfulness, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into all things, who is the head, Christ, whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You see, as we're standing up here, our desire is that we would all come to a place that we're all equipped. For what? For the work of the ministry. Why? That the body of Christ may be built up. There is no man other than Jesus Christ Himself that can do the work. We can go back to what it says in Genesis and just let. But letting doesn't mean just setting. Letting means let God do what He wants to do, and I agree and I walk with it. Just like Adam walked with God in the cool of the day. I'm told that I have the Spirit of Christ in me. He's an anchor to my soul, right? My anchor's up high. The same Jesus that lived 2,000 years ago to minister the will of God and the love of God to humanity is in you. He's in me. And he does not change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. And His desire is for the Father's will to be done. So one of the things is this greatness is coming up, and we see that our desire is that when we come together, it's a place that we build one another up. We equip one another. We strengthen. We encourage. Not to follow me, but to follow Him. To trust Him. Don't trust anything I have to say. Search it out and see if it's right. There's something really interesting. And does anybody know what happened before this little conversation took place with Jesus and His disciples? Remember, we're at the Last Supper. And He just got done doing what we call communion. What took place in that time frame? I'm not, anybody know? You're not going to find it in Luke. Cat's not allowed to share, as I told him. John 13. Yes. He didn't listen. See, you have your...
What did I say?
I said, you can't tell me because I already told you. Kent has to work with me 3 days a week or 4 days a week, so he has to put up with me.
But no, you talk too fast for me, all right?
What? Slow. I got to remember the yellow light.
Yeah.
Okay. So, turn to John 13. I don't like, when I read this stuff, and I see these same truths in my own heart, It just brings tears, and sometimes I can't even read anymore. And we got these guys wondering within themselves, looking in the mirror, understanding the fact that they could be the one who could be betrayed Jesus. But on the other hand, they want to be considered great. And Jesus said, not so among you. But before that happened, you want to read? To again reach verse 5 of chapter 13 of John. To 17.
After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, You are not all clean. So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down, he said to them, Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, Well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them.
Who's the greatest? Okay, so verse 15. I had to ask myself this question. Jesus says, I've given you an example that you do them. What did he just do? He just washed the disciples' feet. Right before that, he celebrated communion, or if you want to, how you want to say it in today's vernacular, we follow that. Why don't we follow washing feet? Can anybody tell me? What?
I mean, there are some that do that.
You're right, some do. Was this given as an example, a specific example to follow exactly? To do? How do we know?
I think the whole point is being in the
first. Okay. I present to you both of them are pictures. They're not both to be taken literally and specifically for a specific purpose. I want Jesus to wash my feet. I wanted to watch all of me like Peter. You see, you have that. If you think about, I can't do it. I want to be great. Jesus said, "Come, let me watch." No, I don't need it. Well, if I don't watch it, I have nothing to do with it. Dunk me. Right? I want it all. But do you? Do we really want all of Jesus and all that he has for us? Then here's the example we have to follow. It's not a physical example of getting a basin out and washing one another's feet. But there is scripture that teaches us how we can be washed. And what is it?
Washing of the word.
Washing by the water of the word. And I'm not to take away the fact that he humbled himself and washed your feet. But the thing is he understood who he was and he understood their need. But he also understood the Father's will. Jesus only did this because it was the Father's desire to present a picture of having your feet washed. It starts with the being clean, which we talked about. It's another picture of baptism. You see, these people have been immersed into Christ. Baptism means immersion. Their lives, come follow me. Okay, And even through all this, did they understand it? No. Jesus even said up here, thanks to them, doing, you don't understand now, but you will. Don't you find comfort in that? That he doesn't ask you to understand. He asks you to just trust him. I don't need to lean on my own understanding, but in all my ways I can acknowledge him, and he will direct my path.
I haven't figured it out completely, but he also says to shake the dust off your feet when you leave a place that is rejected.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus Christ, we're wanting to hear his word. And so I know in our culture, we aren't as barefoot and welcoming people into their home and washing their feet immediately, but we do refresh them with a drink or, you know, put their feet up or something like that. But anyhow, so there has to be some kind of where we walk and what we leave behind as we take Christ to a place.
Yeah, well, and when we leave and it says to shake the dust off your feet, it's like, don't let that thought process, that leap, be a part of what you take with you. Just shake it off. Keep going in the reality of the truth and resting in him.
So wherever we've gone, whatever we've walked in, like, we need that continual washing.
Correct.
And that reminder to be pumped back in him.
And even before that, before I keep coming back to be clean, to be washed, do I understand in the sight of God I am clean? In and of your own, in your heart, do you know that you're clean and forgiven? And that the Holy Spirit has been given to you as a guarantee of your inheritance? Do you know? If you do, then you just be washed. If you're not sure, you can. Just surrender. It's the same answer. Just continue to surrender, to yield. To figure out that I am not trying to be great. What I want to do is get out of the way and let the great one be who he is. So that the world can look at the beautiful Savior that I see, and you see, and it just comes out. He comes out. He meets their need. He has to wash the feet. He didn't say, I want you to go grab, actually told him to go get swords after this. He didn't go get a bunch of sponges, a towel, so you can walk around girded and wash everybody's feet. But he wants you to rest and trust him that he, as you go, has made you uniquely and perfectly and wonderfully made, that he can do everything he can do if you yield yourself to him. You're made perfect for the Creator of the universe to dwell in your heart richly, and that you can shine to this dying world. How do we do it? Do we want it? Questions you have to ask. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I find myself like Peter, where I say, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not so, Lord. Faith, that came, the first part came from God. The second part, we're told, get behind me, Satan. You see, in our minds, we can allow ourselves to walk, resting in the completed work of Christ, where I can continually say, not so, Lord, in my day-to-day life. And the Lord wants us to keep that behind. We need to come back. We need to rest and realize he's the great one. And the truth is he's not even teaching here that he's the greatest one. Because he knows who is greater, and that's the Father. He's here. He doesn't do anything the Father's not doing. Right? He's not saying anything the Father doesn't want said. Wouldn't that be awesome to have a testimony like that? And we knew when to zip the lip and when to open it. Well, that's when we come back and get washed. The scriptures say his mercies are new every morning, great is his faithfulness. Why is that so sweet for us? Why should it be? because when I wake up every morning, it's like a new day of resurrection. I have a new opportunity of creation set before me, and I can walk in the fullness of all the things that God has for me today, keeping my eyes fixed on Him, the author and finisher and perfecter of my faith. Oh, I blew it. Thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for another moment. I don't have to wait until tomorrow. When I see Him, I can say, sorry. And my mind can change and I can turn and rest in the complete trust of Him. So as we consider these things, any thoughts? Well, I don't know if that's good or bad. Questions? Do you believe the scripture when it says in and of yourself dwells no good thing? If not, just keep trying. You'll figure it out. I think. Because what I've learned, and even reading this, I've gone to other men and said, Lord, what does this mean? But I'm starting to change to say, I don't care so much about what this means, but what are you saying to me? Is there more to it? I don't mean that I don't want doctrine, I want Jesus. And I don't want to come to the Word so I can learn about Him. I want Him to reveal Himself to me so that He can make Himself known through me as He chooses to see fit. But until then, I can rest in His completed Word all the time. And I need to come to His Word. Why? So I can be washed. That Jesus needs to wash me. Guess what? I can't wash you. I can't wash myself. I can't reach some spots on my back. I'm not flexible. But He knows where to touch you. He knows where to speak to your heart. He knows what you need before you even ask. And the truth is all we need to do is ask to say, Lord, we need You. I need You to sustain me through this day. I need You to be my God. I need You to be my Savior today. Save me from me. Save me from misrepresenting You. Save me. Just save me. Do I understand how... Anyway, Minnie lives with me. You can ask her. Unless she's blind. I'm hoping. Love is blind. But I stop striving and struggling. Come to a place where you can rest completely on Jesus. He will never let you down. Every person in this room, every person outside of this room will. Because we're not Christ. And we can't be anyone's Savior. But what we can do is get out of the way and let the Savior reveal Himself to those around us. But it only happens as we rest and receive it. It has to be my life. It has to be something I have to step out in faith. I think it's neat that Jesus said, you've been with me through my trials. There in Luke. And you're like, wait a minute, He hasn't even really got into the trial. Has He? He's getting ready to go through the big trial. But yet they've been with Him through His trials. It's kind of interesting. But then again, I think God putting Himself in human flesh and have to deal with all of this is a trial in and of itself. I think we find that out daily too when we walk around in this world led by a humanity. It's nasty. It's not easy. We need to trust the One who is in control. Whoops. There's do you notice right here Jesus says to back in Luke, sorry. He says to the disciples, well, when he washed your feet, you're clean, not all of you, speaking of Judas. He tells them it's the kings exercise lordship, not so among you. Notice in verse 26, not so among you, let. Verse 27, let him be as the younger, and he as governs as he who serves, let. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Jesus gives the answer and says it is he who sits at the table. So we know the one sitting is the greatest. But see, Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. Has his apostleship changed? Is he not still sent to serve? To bring you into the light as he is in the light? To draw you unto himself? You see, he's still serving. But he's Lord. And he wants to serve even more as we allow him to be Lord. He wants to serve the Father. He wants to honor the Father. He wants to speak that which the Father has spoken. Why? Jesus tells him, I bestow upon you a kingdom. Just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in the kingdom and sit on the throne judging the 12 tribes of Israel. You think that's a big boost for their egos? You're going to sit on the throne. What's the next thing he says? Satan's asked to sit to Simon. See the battle in mankind? You have like a victory. I just got blessed by the Lord. He told me. He just bestowed upon a kingdom upon me. Ooh. That's a good thing. I think I'm going to build up my muscles and I think that I can stand in the day of trial. I think I could stand and not betray it. I think that I wouldn't deny Christ. Peter. Before the night's over, you'll deny me three times. It's the same thing, back and forth. The things I will do, the things I do not do. The things I will not do, these things I practice. And then what Paul says, it's kind of the same thing. But can I rest and trust in his completed work? Can I stand knowing that I'm saved, that I'm his? Can I walk knowing in full confidence, not in my own belief, but in the faith, the work that God's doing? Am I yielded? Am I open? Am I allowing the Word to wash me? As I'm being washed. Anybody have a favorite soap they like to tell people about? Shampoo? Is there anything in your life you like to brag about? Huh?
I said Jesus soap.
Jesus soap? That's the only soap worth it.
Jesus is the best.
But we all find these little things to be fanatical about and happy about. Eat right, do this, do that. None of it matters unless we're surrendered and trust in Him to lead us and guide us. How can I govern as one who serves? How do I govern? By serving. I need help. You guys got to help me. How do I govern? By being a servant.
By abiding.
Abiding, okay. There's only one thing that I have control of.
Oh, I know. By letting Him do it.
It is the only creative work that God will ever do. When you submit and surrender your will to Him. And let Him be God. Let Him love you. Let Him wash you. Let Him bless you. But you're going to find Him in the trial. You're not going to find Him in the ease of life. We never see him in the fire if you're not in the fire. You'll never see the things burn off of you that put you in the fire, or the things binding you, unless we see Jesus with us in the fire. We can never settle the lions before us if we're never before one. But we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. And the truth is we live in a sick, dying world. But you know, I don't have to listen to anything on the outside. I don't need to turn the news on. I don't need to listen to these talk shows. I don't need to any of that, because the Word of God says that man is fallen and they're under the sway of the wicked one. What else do I need to know except for the answer? And that is to go after him. Continue to press on towards that upper call to know Jesus, to continue to grow. And guess what? It also means to continue to let go. You see, I need to let go so I can let God. I got to stop striving and struggling. I have to yield. It's only by the grace of God that I can. And the only way I will is when I see the emptiness of my efforts. Abraham and Sarah had a child when they thought not of themselves, but they considered what God can do. Moses thought not of what he left behind in the treasures. Paul says, the things that I considered loss, I still consider loss. For what? For the excellency of knowledge of him. You see, learning to walk with Jesus in a day-to-day life is more beautiful than anything the Lord has ever blessed you. I don't want what I want and have a leanness of soul. I want the Lord to change my desires so that he gives me the desires of my heart. But I need to let him keep washing me. And to realize he's not trying to perfect this flesh. He's trying to get us to a point where we deny ourselves, we pick up the cross and follow after him daily. That we can come to a point where I can forget those things behind and press on towards the upper call in Christ Jesus my Lord. To set my eyes on the Lord. To trust in the Lord with all your heart and make no provision for the flesh. That means your effort. Don't allow your flesh to give an effort. Let it die. You know, suicide's terrible. Rape. It's just a twist. The enemy gives people the twist. If I take the physical, I'll feel better. When the Lord wants us to die to the flesh and live to the Spirit. He wants you to commit so-called surrender, suicide, to die to self, to live for Christ. And we find out how to do that through here. It's not by our effort, it's by trusting and resting in his work. And I hope you guys get sick and tired. I don't. It's only Jesus. There's nothing else can be offered. We can do it in many different ways, and the ways that he's revealed to you that you can get out of the way so he can show himself strong on behalf of those who trust in him. I hope we never get tired of it just being Jesus. It'd be a most pitiful if you need something more than Jesus in your life. If there's anything that you're going after, striving after, struggling after, you will find no joy. If it isn't that for Jesus. And live in a life of thanksgiving and praise rather than complaining and grumbling. And so I think I'm done.
I have one more quick picture.
Yes.
Just how, like, if Jesus needs to wash our feet before we can wash the feet of others, I thought of having our feet fitted with the shoes of the gospel of peace allows us to be ready to share God with others at all times. But we need to go to Him.
It's not easy to wash someone's feet if your hands are dirty. Right? So, we need to be washed to wash. But we're not the ones washing. He is. We need to be washed. We need to be cleansed.
I was thinking about what you said at the beginning when we were talking about the apostles and the apostles. If you had the question on yourself, with who is it? Which one of us is it? They're looking in the mirror wondering, you know.
Is it I?
However, when you think about that, I think about that verse, and I'm really trying to find out where it was. But the idea that we're by the grace of God, the end is so simple. A community that's like we look back in history and we say, hell, we let that happen. It's the result of insanity for us, our spirit. However, I think just reminding ourselves of who we really are, and really, without the grace of God, what we are capable of, what horrendous things we're capable of. And when I was reading Corinthians 15:10, it's Paul speaking about the resurrection of the dead. It said, but by the grace of God, I am what I am. It's only the God's grace, and what you're saying all along. And His grace in me was not without effect. No, I have worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that is with me. And you know, I think it's really very clear that we are capable of all kinds of stuff. So keep yourself being washed by the Holy Spirit and the grace of God.
It's amazing. We can do a lot, but Jesus says we can do nothing without Him. Isn't that beautiful? Which means you can do a lot of trouble and mess up a lot of stuff and can do nothing good. But He can do it all. And it's the question is really, do I really want to see Jesus? Will I allow Him? Will I come before Him? Will I allow Him to cleanse me? I know I'm bathed, but I need washed daily. If you work with me, you know I need washed regularly. Because I can flip the switch and somebody pull up in front of me and it's like, and sometimes you just say, bless me, Lord. No. But my desire, and I hope it comes forth, is that stop striving, stop struggling. Start resting, start trusting, and go after Him with all your heart. He won't fail you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You that You are faithful. Lord, You tell us that even though we're faithless, You do remain faithful. Because You cannot deny Yourself. Lord, we're thankful for Your grace. Lord, I pray that You would just ignite into us even a greater desire, Lord, not to put forth effort for You, but just to go after knowing You. Lord, we know that as we do, the world will see it. So we ask, Lord, that in nothing in our lives we desire glory, but that through all things You would be glorified and lifted up. Because we know that You will draw all men to Yourself. We just thank You in Jesus' name.